B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshitz. We're known as the Bankroll Boys.
Indeed.
Can we call ourselves the Bankroll Boys, though?
So, on the podcast description, I always say the Bankroll Boys, but I never refer to myself as a Bankroll
Boy. I don't either. People refer to us as the Bankroll Boys. So, we're known as the Bankroll Boys from 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. This is a weekly sports betting show. We give information, we give insight, and we give picks. That's what we do here on the show. It's real simple. So, what we do is we recap last week. I think it's fairly easy to recap last week, Dan.
Agreed.
A couple out of the way real quick. The Bruins won the series.
That's correct. That was your PP. Cash it.
And they swept and are now on to the Stanley Cup.
I picked the Bruins in seven. I think you had them in five.
Five.
Is that correct? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, they dominated that series. It wasn't close. There was nothing good about that series. It wasn't fun to watch. Tuukka Rask was unbelievable. The entire team was just elite. It was fantastic. You nailed it. Honestly, and it probably should have been five, but who cares? You nailed it.
And I know you had a few wins as well.
Yep. We had the Toronto. I told you the Toronto Raptors money line pretty much parlayed with anything.
And it worked.
It did.
And a lot of people asked about that, by the way.
Oh, true. And a historic Kawhi Leonard shot to cash that, by the way. I'm shocked that Philadelphia played them as tough as they did. I really, really underrated Philadelphia going into the series. I thought it was going to be over in six. Told you to hedge it if you wanted to. If you had the -1.5, played them to win in seven. If you did, you won. You did well. The Raptors win in seven. Kawhi Leonard with a historical game-winning shot. Unbelievable. And the other thing that we had, Joe, and I actually can't remember. We talked about it beforehand. There was something else, too, that we also had. I can't remember.
Well, it was the Warriors series.
Oh, the Warriors series, yeah. Right. So the Warriors series, and then, of course, I told you they're going to win the West, so I gave you that a couple podcasts ago. The Warriors to win the West parlayed with anything. They're up 2-0 in the Blazers, down 15 last night, came back. We'll get into that game.
Ooh.
Incredible game.
Some good stuff on that one. So not much to recap from last week. Usually we spend about 10 minutes, but that's...
I went 4-1 last week.
Yeah.
Currently 4-1.
So just to throw this out here. I make picks every night. Dan, like you hit a baseball pick the other day, like the Reds or some shit.
I've been killing baseballs.
So there you go. So me, I basically have been either fading or following the Refagel. That's really it. Oh, the Bruins. And there's a hedging situation that happened last night that we'll get to because a lot of people keep asking us about hedging. We'll get to that in a little bit, and it had to do with last night's hockey game. And we're recording this on Friday afternoon. About 6:30. So we'll have basically your NHL odds coming up and then the Western Conference Finals odds, which is probably where we should start, Dan, because the Bruins are on their way. They did it in a sweep. I actually don't even know what the odds were for a sweep. But what I do know is the Bruins are heavy favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
So right now they are, according to Five Dimes, and I'll pull it up here for you. I saw earlier today -200. They're -143 right now. And those odds will drop. So my suggestion is if you want to take the Bruins to win the Stanley Cup, do not bet it right now. You have to wait till either the Sharks or the Blues advance. Once one of those teams advances, Joe, the odds will become evened out. So the Bruins -143 will probably end up looking around, 120-ish, maybe 110, something around along those lines once it kind of evens up. Because you need a winner. They're the only team that's actually in the cup right now. So because of that, their odds are going to be far better than either the Sharks or the Blues.
I think if you've been following the show week in and week out, if you got the Bruins at +200, +250, I grabbed it at -120, +120, sorry.
We talked about it right when the playoffs started. They were +1100, and we were like, wow, it almost feels like Vegas didn't take them seriously.
Real value.
Value. They were like seventh or eighth on the value list. And I believe you were the one who said take them. I said I don't think I would take them. So I end up having them. I mean, I have a small future at like 250 or 255 or something. But honestly, the only thing I've been doing is really riding the Bruins' money lines. I have to say I missed the boat on the futures, Joe. I did.
And that's part of doing the show, right? Like me, I've been, how many times did I tell you I had the Rockets and I kept putting money on the Warriors? You know what I mean? Like, and again, there was another a hedging situation that happened last night. I missed out on it. I'm pissed myself for it. But we'll get to that. But just looking at the Western Conference, all right, we know it's tied 1-1. There's a game tonight, so if the podcast doesn't come out, we'll know the result here. But just looking at that Western Conference now, to me, because of what happened with the officials favoring San Jose again on a betting angle, this is just no insight, no anything, Dan. I like to fade certain opportunities. I actually fade San Jose tonight, and I like the Blues in this situation.
See, I think that that's the general consensus. I'm going to go against that. I actually like San Jose tonight. My favorite play out of the entire game tonight is actually the under. I think the under is probably the right way to go. I think after the last game, you are going to see a lot of hitting, a lot of fighting, a lot of anger. It's going to be, there's a lot of hurt feelings on the Blues side right now. There's going to be a lot of just anger, I feel, coming from that team tonight. I do think that the St. Louis Blues are going to do some stupid stuff, maybe take a few penalties they shouldn't because of that. I like San Jose. I think they go up 3-1 in the series. I think St. Louis will win game five and San Jose probably takes it in six. That's the way I look at it. I think the way that call has swung that series to me is unbelievable. That call ruined, and I really believe this. If the Blues don't win tonight, that call probably ruins the entire Western Conference Finals.
Can I be honest with you? I think the refs in the NHL overall have kind of ruined the pureness of hockey.
Well, at least, I mean, the West, at the very least. I mean, the Golden Knights got screwed in that game seven call. The five-minute major was bad. It was just bad. There's no looking around it. Now, I get it. San Jose probably still gets a goal or two, but do they win? I don't know. You know, and then in the overtime, I believe Vegas got screwed again. They got that penalty, and that's where San Jose won. I got to be honest with you. I think it was on the short end of play or whatever it was. That was bad. And then Colorado gets a disallowed goal in game seven, and they had two more disallowed goals. It seems like the Sharks have been getting beyond preferential treatment from the refs, and I'm really sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. Someone needs to call those assholes out.
Yes. Should we call them assholes?
We might as well. Not the Sharks. I'm talking about the refs.
Yes, it's bad,
man. It's not the Sharks' fault.
Hey, listen, the Sharks, they seem like a team of destiny. I don't know how many times. Last week I said the horseshoe. This week it's like destiny. But to your point about betting and the betting side of it, maybe a team does have to grab the series by the balls, and maybe it is San Jose.
I just think that call swings the series, Joe. I do. I think the money line for the Sharks tonight is the right side. I think everyone is going to want to be on the Blues. I think the Blues would be the angle that you're looking at from the Blues in general, I think, is just tough. Like, it's a travesty side, but that doesn't necessarily mean good things in hockey. Like, this is when the Blues make stupid mistakes. A team like that, the Blues tonight, could make stupid mistakes purely out of the fact that they're angry, and they have a right to be angry. That call sucked, and the fact that it's not reviewable sucks even more. So the NHL, get your shit together, because that's ridiculous.
What do you got for series odds right now with St. Louis and...
So right now we have San Jose at -230, and if they win tonight, that's going to be an astronomical price. I mean, really, it's astronomical. So you know what I'm going to say, Joe? You want to take the Sharks or you want to take the Blues? Take the Warriors to win it all and parlay them.
Another parlay coming in.
Listen, we talked about riding everything, right? We've talked about riding everything. We've talked about what you're going to ride, how we're going to ride it. We've ridden the Warriors throughout the whole thing. I think the Warriors are going to win. They're -200. You could get a Warriors parlay -200 with the Sharks, and you could, you know, that's about plus money there. So -230, -200. I can't do the math in my head. I'll figure it out. But
just looking ahead, are the Bruins favored against both teams? Will they be favored against both teams?
I want to say yes. I believe they will be. Versus San Jose, it's going to be close.
And again, if you're a Bruins fan or San Jose fan, best games all year for the Bees were against San Jose. Back and forth, high scoring games.
By the way, that Sharks parlay would be 115. So okay. Sharks Warriors is plus 150.
And don't get on Dan about, oh, you guys always say no parlays. The reason why he's telling you to do it is because it's essentially almost even money or positive
money.
It's
plus 150.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's plus 115. So it is.
A little extra there.
And then here's the thing: you could do that, and if you want you could always do the Warriors with the Blues at plus 190. I mean, that is calculating plus 335.
Wow.
So you know you want to take one unit at 335 and maybe one and a half at plus 115. You're still making money as long as the Warriors win.
Okay, that's a solid NHL breakdown right there. That's solid. And next week when we do this podcast. Stanley Cup, baby.
Yeah, there's no futures. There's really nothing to discuss right now, to be perfectly honest with you. It's who do you like in the West?
Conn Smythe?
We'll get into those
odds.
We got it next week. We'll get into those odds. We'll kind of get into everything NHL next week. I think that's exactly, you know, exactly what we're going to do. There's just not much to talk about the Stanley Cup. There's no value with the Bruins. If you want to take, you know, you think the Sharks are going to win, you want to take a Sharks future of like plus 225 to win the Cup is what they are right now, go for it because that's probably a better price than you'll get, you know? So.
Okay. There's your hockey breakdown. We recapped last week quickly because, hey, we did well. And again, the NHL stuff has been good. The Bruins are in the Cup. They'll play either the Blues or San Jose, and we will have all the odds for you next week here on Over Under 985. Coming up, the wrangle continues in the NBA. The lottery, is it fixed? And we have the Warriors, who we've already locked in. But how about that other series over there? We'll get into all that coming up next. He's Dan Lifschitz. I'm Joe Mari. You're listening to Over Under 985, the podcast.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifschitz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
Over Under 985, the podcast, talking NBA. First, Dan, let's talk about the lottery. I actually was shocked, and I know you opened up the DMs this week. You mentioned that there were tons of questions. You wanted people to give you a pick as well. But I got a bunch of DMs as well, and some people kind of getting on me about saying what was fixed and what wasn't. And I just want to clear it up. I thought if the Knicks were the number one pick, I thought everything went to plan. I do. I honestly feel that way. But when New Orleans comes in at number one and they were plus 1,400 odds and the way that the market is in the NBA and who their star player is that's probably out the door, to me, it smelled a little fishy.
When you have the number one, number two financially hurt in distress teams winning the lottery, you know there's something going on, okay? Then you have your two capstone franchises, the Knicks and the Lakers, right behind them. And not to mention Memphis, also Boston gets to keep one of their most valuable trade assets in that 2021 potential unprotected pick. It's top six protected next year. It's unprotected in the year after that. To be honest with you, Joe, in my personal opinion, I don't know how you can argue the fact that it's fixed. Yes, if the Knicks won, it would have been fixed. I think the fact is that the lottery is fixed. It is what it is, guys. If you don't want to believe it, there's nothing that I can say or do to make you believe it, okay? I mean, look at the ref angle. You think that they fix NBA playoff games, but they're not going to fix the lottery for a chance at a player? Like, this isn't, you know, we're talking about guys who are not even real players. Like, they're college prospects. We don't know what they're going to be. They're not finished products by a long shot. But you guys don't think that they'll fix the lottery, but you think that they'll fix the NBA playoffs? Come on. Use your head, guys. I mean, there's a reason that the ref angle works so well.
Ernst & Young, baby.
Just Google
Ernst
it.
Ernst & Young.
Ernst & Young fraud. Google it.
Plus 1,400, though. If you had the Pelicans, God bless you. That's a hell of a hit.
Yep.
Hell of a hit. All right, moving on. NBA. I know we went over last week, but Golden State's up 2-0. And we have the Raptors and Bucks. Just, we know what the records are. But going into the series, how'd you feel? I mean, I know I think we both, Golden State, they were minus 600 in the series.
And I told you Golden State was gonna sweep them for 4 or 5. That's what I said last week.
So looking at Bucks, Toronto, you've been on Toronto.
I've been on Toronto. The ref angle tonight is clearly on Milwaukee.
Wait, real quick. Game one, spread. What was it?
Six and a half.
Where'd it land?
7. Or landed at 8. Closed at 7, though. So, I mean, a 6.5, 7. Closed at 8. They won by 8. Toronto did not score historically for the final 3 minutes and 35 seconds. And Kyle Lowry was the only one to make a field goal in the entire fourth quarter. Nothing you can do there. That's not the refs. That's just Toronto sucking ass and losing the game.
I do blame the ref angle, though. I don't think the refs had anything to do with them not scoring. It's just that if you're going to continue to do it every single week, the result's what's important. And, you know, the Bucks won, they covered by 1 point.
But here's the thing. Zarba did try and get them a technical foul free throw at the end, which would have pushed the spread. So in my opinion, I do think that Zarba and that team was trying to go for a Bucks. That is my honest opinion. They were on the Bucks side. They were trying to get that cover for them at the very least. Tonight, I think Milwaukee is going to win. I think they'll win comfortably. I think we're going to go back to Toronto. This series right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are minus 500. They go up 2-0 in the series. Right now, Toronto's plus 400. I think you're going to see Toronto around a plus 600 series value.
We should jump on Toronto, right?
So I'm telling you right now, if Milwaukee wins tonight, I will be jumping on the Toronto series price.
You're waiting.
I'm waiting. I'm going to take a calculated gamble and expect Milwaukee to win tonight and wait and take the gamble for game 3. If I lose, I'm still getting Toronto at a decent price. And if Milwaukee wins game 3, you can probably get back that plus 400 or at least something or a semblance of it. 350, 375. You're losing some value there. I'm going to take a calculated gamble, think that Milwaukee is going to win tonight, and I'm going to go back on Toronto. I see the series going. I honestly thought the series was going to split. I thought Toronto would win one in Milwaukee. I thought they would split them. Tonight it looks like the Milwaukee is going to go up 2-0. Toronto will go back home, win 2-0, and or win both home games, and you all have a 2-2 series. That's the way I look at it. That is the way that I look at this series. That's the way I looked at it's going to happen. I think Toronto is good enough. I think that you had Brooks Lopez at 29 points and have a career night for the Milwaukee Bucks. To me right now, in no way, shape, or form do I think that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to still win the series. I still have faith in the Toronto Raptors. I do.
But you're waiting.
That was my pick at the beginning of the year. I'm going to roll with it.
All right. So one thing I wanted to get into was the Thursday night Golden State Warriors game. And the ref angle was Portland. Take Portland plus the points.
Yep.
The second half spread was Golden State minus 9, which covered. Okay?
Easily.
Which I wish I got on that.
Me too. It was just everyone was on it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger.
So, Dan, I made a mistake, and I'm going to share it. I bet the Warriors down 3 points. So think about the juice I paid for that. And I got the number at 6.5. So you know what I landed at, right? 3.5. What'd they win by?
They went by 3.
Oh, so I'm eating shit today. I'm eating a shit sandwich, Justin Williams. That's what I'm doing. Shit sandwich. Justin Williams.
Why did you buy that many points?
I felt like, I couldn't get the money. My book didn't offer a money line.
Gotcha.
That sucks. And the thing is, I wouldn't have bet the money line because it would have been like, 380 or whatever, 360 maybe.
300.
Okay, 300. But I would have parlayed it with the Bruins, maybe?
Parlayed it with anything.
Exactly, to not pay the juice. So, and instead, I'm eating a shit sandwich.
So that's what I did yesterday. I parlayed almost all my bets with the Warriors, and I was very frustrated after the first half. Portland dominated that game, and I thought it was over. I honestly didn't have faith that they would come back. They've done it times before. I just didn't believe in them. They did. I'm going to take an L there too, because I felt last night the second half Warriors was probably one of the freest money line, freest spots for money I've ever seen.
But you gave out Blazers Golden State money line.
I did. I gave out Blazers plus. But by the way, we're not counting those towards the record, so don't worry about it.
But this is the that's what you said to do.
I did.
And we lost.
Well, you lost. I didn't.
I thought I'd bet it down to three.
I had the Warriors money line with almost everything last night. I had the Warriors Reds. I had the Warriors. Mike, our buddy who does esports, I did Warriors and his esports, whatever crap. I had the Warriors and the Blue Jays who lost. I had the Warriors and all the plays. I had the Bruins. I had the Warriors and the under and the Bruins. I had a bunch of stuff. I lost everything. I won everything but one bet last night. So I did very well. Thanks to the Warriors. Thank you, Warriors. I do think the Bucks are going to win tonight. Unfortunately, I do have to say that tonight's game doesn't really interest me much, because I'm really interested to see what the Raptors spreads are. I want to talk to you about game 3 Warriors Blazers. Do you know what the spread in that is?
No.
Blazers -2.5.
Wow. Whoa. They're favored?
Blazers.
Every squirrel finds a nut in that series, Blazers, don't you think?
Blazers -2.5. Guess where they are first half? -2.5.
Ooh.
Guess where they are first quarter? -1.5.
So let's take an L. Warriors first half was crushing. And know who I blame?
Oh, first quarter, you mean?
I blame RJ Bell. Because you said, take the Warriors, they've been hot. And then right before a tip-off, RJ Bell goes, hey, look at these numbers for the Warriors in the first quarter, in the playoffs. Da, 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 da.
Honestly, that was literally just the first thing I saw.
We can lose, but I need a reason behind it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I blame. Okay. Well, he gave you bad juju.
That's fair. I will say this, Joe. I think I'm gonna be. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a square Joe right now. I'm gonna take the Warriors +120 money line game 3 PP.
Square play alert. Square play alert. Whoop. Whoop.
I think that the Warriors let them back. I think the Warriors played one of the worst halves I've ever seen them play, and they still won the game. I think you're going to get a Blazers ref. So if there's a Blazers ref with the wrangle, I'll take my PPL, which is probably what's going to happen. There'll probably be a home ref, maybe Callahan or some crap like that, which I don't think it actually can be because he's doing tonight's game. But there'll be a home ref. The Warriors will get screwed. If it's Foster or Brothers, we're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Can you believe that game 7? I know we're going back a week, but game 7.
Foster and Brothers.
We got to talk about the shot, just for the hell of it. That was when you remember basketball shots, okay? Just think in your head. I'm a little older than you. But yeah. In my head, it's Kareem's hook. Magic Johnson's hook shot. Was that 86 or whatever that was? Yeah, 86. And then I think of Jordan over Elo. Jordan over Byron Russell, right? Yeah. There's been some other big. Reggie Miller's had some big. Paul Pierce had a game winner for Washington a couple of years ago, right?
Yep.
At the end of the game here. But that shot by Kawhi Leonard is a star player that's a champion in this league that went somewhere else, had a big-time talent covering him. And how many times do you see it?
Not a small man. He's not like, it's not like a big time guard. That's a center. That's Joel Embiid.
And I hate to use legacy players, but that's a legacy play for Kawhi Leonard, who's not really much of a vocal guy.
I mean, it's massive. It's the, in my lifetime that of sports that I can remember, Joe, in basketball games, at least, I think that's the biggest NBA shot I've seen. One of the top five. I can't think of another shot that I've seen when I was old enough to remember.
The only one I can think of is Chalmers.
The only one that I can think of is Kyrie.
So do you remember Memphis Derrick Rose. Mario Chalmers had a half court shot,
right, in
that like
basketball.
Put it into overtime
I'm
or whatever.
I'm talking about just NBA.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm trying to think of like a shot.
So
like,
Kyrie's shot versus the Warriors is the only.
Oh yeah, yeah. There you go.
That's
that's
the only other one I can.
And we
think
all remember, like, stands out, right? We still talk about it now.
Like, that's the only other shot that I can literally think in my head and say that shot was so big. The Kawhi shot was that big, and not only that, but for everyone who listens to this podcast, it won the money. I got DMs after that shot. Man,
they didn't cover. The ref angle worked because the 76ers covered the spread. Correct. And the money line hit for Toronto. But you are right, though.
Yeah, I got.
I was watching Game of Thrones, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, here we go.
I was working. I was watching Thrones and doing and the game at the same time, and I mean, I can't even tell you. The minute the shot went in, I just got like, Kawhi, thanks for the free whatever. Thanks for the free this. You just paid my, you know, all the shit that we get after. You know, we have a good podcast, whatever. It was wild. It was awesome. It was fun. It was a crazy shot. And if he leaves the Raptors now, which I think he probably does from what it seems like, you know, from what everyone kind of what's out there in the NBA sphere, I do think he's going to end up going to the Clippers or the Lakers or somewhere out west. The Warriors. Don't be surprised if he looks at the Warriors, maybe. I do think that will be one that should go down still as the greatest, biggest shot in Toronto Raptors history.
Too bad it wasn't like a finals, you know.
Correct.
Like if that was a final shot, oh man, it'd be huge.
It wasn't even an Eastern Conference final shot. It was a semifinal shot, but still, absolutely just huge, just a crazy shot. And I was ripping him right before that for missing the free throw because he had to make the shot because he missed the free throw. So, you make the free throw, you don't have to make the shot, but hey, you made the shot.
Just randomly, is there any odds on where Anthony Davis will end up?
So, there has been a few things out there. Nothing concrete.
Because their odds did change. They actually improved.
So, right now, the favorite, at least on Bet Online, and again, these are smaller markets. There haven't been a lot out there. Bookmaker had where odds for where Anthony Davis will play next year. The Celtics opened as the favorite. They were quickly bet to the Lakers as the favorite with the Knicks as the second favorite. The Celtics actually ended up closing at fourth behind the Pelicans. That was the closing number. So when Lakers, Knicks, Pelicans, Celtics, then on Bet Online, there were odds the other day, Knicks closed as the favorite. The Lakers closed as second. The Pelicans closed as third. The Clippers closed as fourth and the Celtics closed as fifth.
All right, man. Any other NBA stuff you want to get in?
I'll say this. We've talked about betting the Warriors and making free money the whole time. I really do think this. I think that if you want some good money, Golden State beating Toronto in the finals right now is plus 498. So I think that is some legit money. Golden State beating Milwaukee right now is minus 139, so I don't love that. I will say this, Joe. I think Warriors, we've talked about this for now multiple podcasts. I think the Warriors are going to win it all. If you want some futures and you want to make some free money, I think the Warriors to win it all parlayed with stuff is the way to do it. I really do. You know, minus 200 to minus 220, minus 230, anything really below 260 is, you know, decent value. I just don't see them losing. If you want to see if they lose game three, go ahead. But nonetheless, I think the Warriors are going to win it all. And I think that, to be honest with you, Joe, if you bet on them, it's free money. I do like, again, the Warriors to beat Toronto, but those odds are going to change after tonight. So we'll see about that.
All right. That's it. Well, again, next week we should have a lot more when it comes to.
By the way, I want to give you look aheads right now.
Yeah.
The Warriors, if they face the Toronto Raptors in the series, minus 700 favorites. Toronto will be plus 500. If the Warriors face Milwaukee, Golden State will be minus 280, and Milwaukee will be plus 240.
So is there a matchup, though, if it is Bucks-Warriors? Or
yes.
Bucks?
Bucks-Warriors. Warriors will be minus 280, Bucks will be plus 240.
No, but like the actual outcome is
right. Oh, actual outcome. Let's see. The actual, just the matchup?
Yeah, it's probably off now, right?
Off. So we have the Bucks to beat. So here's the other thing you could do. The Bucks to beat the Warriors at plus 235. That's worse value than taking them at plus 240. And the Warriors to beat the Bucks is minus 135.
As we just spoke. What is it to beat the Raptors?
Warriors, we just talked about that, is plus 498.
Really?
Warriors to beat the Raptors is plus 498. So it's the same
we should
thing.
Jump on that.
Well, I think we should wait till tonight.
Okay.
Wait till tonight.
It won't be 498, people, if you're listening.
Well, right.
If you happen to get this any time before midnight.
These odds, by the way, are all from Five Dimes, futures and props.
So, all righty.
You're interested in any of that stuff?
Yeah. All right. We've given you the NBA, NHL. We recapped last week. Coming up, we're going to roll the dice, and we have your questions in a hedge scenario that a lot of people have been asking about. We got a good scenario for you. And the Preakness. I'll give you a little something on that. It's over under 985 the podcast. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz with a bankroll, boys. Coming up, we'll have more for you.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with over under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
Over under 985, the podcast. We'll just roll the dice. What the hell? We got a bunch of things going here. But we wanted to get into a hedge. A lot of people have been asking about hedging and what they should do. And give you a scenario. Yesterday, Boston Bruins looking for the sweep against the tomato can. Can we call them that?
Yes.
Tomato cans.
Not after now, definitely.
The Carolina Hurricanes. So, I bet the Bruins to win in five games at plus 235, Dan. Yesterday, the Bruins were minus 105 heading into the game.
Close. That's their closing price. Yep.
How do I hedge this?
Take the Bruins money line.
Okay.
Very easy. You're going to take in the Bruins money line for, if you're plus 235, you want to take it for a little extra, you take it for 1.5 units.
Now, what if I wanted, would it have been stupid to bet Carolina and hoping that it still hit, that you double your bet?
That would have been a double down, and that would have been...
That would have been bad. Hindsight, bad.
Wrong. It would have been the wrong way.
And you know what? I was thinking about it. Because when I saw Chara was out, started thinking a little bit.
Well, I think that's why the price started dipping. Plus, you had pretty much every sharp on the planet, every hockey sharp on the planet on the Hurricanes last night. I did not, for the first time, was on the Bruins for in a closing series game like that. I just could not trust Carolina. I this is what I want to say about hedging, Joe. I have gotten so many inquiries about hedging recently. So many. I've gotten questions. There's a guy, I'm not going to call him out because he knows who he is. I talk to him every day. He's a nice guy. But he asked me, listen, I plus 110 for the over 5.5 right now. And the Bruins-Canes was a couple days ago. It was 4-0 heading into the second period, right? Or third period.
Yeah, Mother's Day?
Yeah, yep. I think so. He has, I have plus 110 for the over. Should I hedge it and take plus 110 for the under?
What? Let it ride, baby.
All you're doing is making 10 cents of juice. 10 cents. You're making 1/10 your bet.
You let it ride.
The hedging is getting ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, hedging is supposed to be in specific spots. The reason that you guys bet is so that you make money. Now, if you bet a sizable amount, you want to guarantee something, go for it. Like, we talked about the Raptors minus 1.5. Was plus 200 in the series versus Philadelphia, right? Or plus 100. So you have even odds there. If you think that Philadelphia is going to win game 6 and you want to come back, well, then you can hedge with Raptors winning 7. Great way to do that. or you can take Toronto money line. You want to buy out of your bet, that's fine. Stop hedging everything. Enough. You guys got to chill with the hedging, because soon enough, you're not even betting. You're just hedging for odds on size. Now, if you're a sharp and you bet a shitload of money, that works. That's awesome. That's how you make good money. But you're not, most of the people who listen to this podcast are not sharps. They're not guys who are betting thousands of dollars, and so their take home is clear. It's very different. So in my opinion, this is not, you guys got to chill. You got to chill with the hedging. Enough.
Okay, let me give you a scenario quickly. A lot of experts. Dan, I don't think we can call ourselves pros yet, because we don't have like the title. Okay, we don't get the paycheck yet.
I don't care.
So we're amateur bettors, and I'll if you don't want to say it, I'll say it. We're amateur bettors, but we do this every week, and we're involved every day. So
even
really,
if I was a pro, I would never call myself a
there
pro.
There you go. Okay, you just need a cigar and a gold chain.
Exactly. give me a cigar and no job. Perfect.
All right, but amateur betting. Most professionals that do this on a daily, that do this for a livelihood, they consider hedging amateur. They don't like to do it.
Right.
To give you a scenario, if you watch that show Action, one of the fellows had the Rams, and he didn't feel good about the Rams, so he hedged. He took the Patriots, and you know he said it's a rookie move. I don't do it often, but it washed out his bet, though. It covered his bet, and he won his money. And not to mention, he also moved the line a little bit because people knew he was betting in it. All I'm trying to say is, and I think to make Dan's point is, don't, when you make a bet, ride it out. Ride that bad boy. Stop, you made the bet, ride it.
Stop being scared.
Yeah, don't be scared.
Scared money
is no money,
scared,
right?
Scared money makes no money, baby. That's the way it is. Got to stop being scared now.
Should we start like getting milk cup, like coffee cups and shit?
I agree. Scared money makes no money. Down. Like, here's the thing. If you guys have like a plus 200 and you have a great hedge opportunity with something that makes you good guaranteed money, down. Like, I get it. That's a good hedge spot. Even professionals at times will hedge those spots. You know, you'll see professionals get, you know, plus money on the Bucks in game and the Raptors in game. That's what they do. You know, professionals, they're betting these games 5-6 times on one side and 5-6 times the other side, 5-6 times on the total, 5-6 times, you know, each and every which way. And most of the time they do well. They make money. But you guys are betting, you know, 100, 200, less. You got to stop with the hedging.
Yeah.
Ride it out. Stop being scared. You made your bet, ride it. If it looks bad or you think you want to ask us, okay. But with the whole, like, you know, oh, should I hedge my 4-goal lead at over under 5.5 going into the third period? No. Stop being a bitch and ride it.
Okay. I agree with you. Stop being a bitch.
Agreed.
And ride it. All right. So, but just, I want to, football might be easier to relate to a lot of people because they do it often. But there are many times that I bet a team. So let's just hypothetically say I bet LSU -7 to win a game.
Yep.
And it's a tie game at half. And the spread for the second half is -7. I sometimes fade the pick because I don't feel good about it. I'll lose the $100 or whatever I put down on it, and I'll move on and I wash out my bet. That's when I don't feel good about something, and the line for the second half makes sense. Hedging is a situational thing. It's not something you should be doing all the time.
Agreed. Hey, I just want to throw it out there. Y'all got to chill with the hedging. That's all. And again, I'm not trying to be demeaning. I'm merely saying this because we're starting to get so many hedge questions now. And my answer is, like, half the time it's like, how the hell does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense for you. There's no reason to hedge that. That's my answer half the time. So this is me telling you, You got to chill with the hedging. Hedging is specific spots, okay? For instance, Joe, perfect example last night. I had the Warriors money line. I told you, as I said, pretty much parlayed with everything I had last night. I had singular bets, but I pretty much doubled down on everything and had the Warriors money line with everything, okay? I had an opportunity at halftime to hedge. I could have taken the Blazers money line. They were still like, I could have taken them after the first quarter.
Yeah.
The Blazers money line was like plus 250. Could have taken it then. I could have taken the Blazers +9 second half or the Blazers money line, whatever. There were a ton of head spots last night. I did not hedge once. I wrote
Let it ride.
You gotta stop being scared.
Especially with a team like Golden State or the Patriots, like just these great teams.
Or the Bruins, up 4-0. You know that Carolina is going to be aggressive in the third period when they're down 2-0 in the series. You know it.
Yeah.
You know that there's going to be two goals. So you gotta chill.
Just a lesson. Yeah. You got to find the spots.
Agreed.
Sometimes, Dan, I'll be all, hey, if you took so-and-so, you can get out of the second half. I'll post it out there.
Yep.
I love halftime bets. Like, Dan, I wish I could make a living on it. If it was like, hey, Dan, you cover this, and Joe, you do halftime bets. Like, I wish I could just do that with my life.
You could make it.
And I missed out on Golden State -9. And, dude, I wanted it. I fell asleep.
I wanted it, and I just bitched out. Here's what I'll tell you. Second half plays. Unless they're equal enough for basically the spread to make sense. For instance, like, you know, if the Warriors were like up by 6 at half and they're -2 second half or whatever, that would basically be the spread. So that would be something that would make sense. But for the most part, like last night, for instance, that is the time that the books are most vulnerable and most exposed, because they have about 20 minutes to do all the calculations for the spreads and everything. And really they're up like 10 minutes beforehand. They're pretty much done like 10 minutes beforehand. Honestly, that is when the books are most vulnerable. You are able to get great value in the second half. So that's something maybe we should start incorporating into the podcast more for you guys. That would be cool for you guys to learn. Maybe we'll start talking about that once football season starts kind of up again. Okay.
Let's pause, and then we'll wrap up some shit, because that was good. I think that needs to be highlighted.
Yep.
That needs to be its own thing. So, Kentucky Derby Preakness picks. Get ready. Get ready, everybody. It's going to be good. Stay tuned.
Fade my picks.
This is going to be great. Preakness talk next.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You know what that horn was for? The Preakness.
The fail that was the Kentucky Derby.
The fail. Listen, there's no Triple Crown winner. Who cares?
I mean,
who cares?
We got to stop expecting Triple Crown winners, because that was like...
Oh, is that what it is?
It didn't happen for like 20, 30 years. What was it?
Yeah.
And it happened like a couple years in a row, or like a couple, you know, two times in like 5 years. So we got to chill with that. Joe, what do you have for the Preakness? We know that there's a few horses that are going to run in the Preakness that ran in the Kentucky Derby. Improbable is obviously going to run in the Kentucky Derby, or the Preakness. Win. I'm not sure who else was in the Derby field. Was War of Will?
I think War of Will
was in the Derby field too. So, there are some horses, but Joe, do you have anyone that you
All right, so here we go. Short and sweet, everybody. Short and sweet. The Kentucky Derby winner has been the favorite 6 years in a row now. Do you know what it has been for the Preakness? 6 years in a row, almost, because of the Triple Crown. But right now, the way to go here, Dan, is Improbable. It's the way. So here we go. When we bet horses, we're taking three horses. Three. They can either win, place, or show. Three horses. If you get one of them, you win money. Here are your three horses. Improbable.
+250.
Always.
Always winning.
Always.
No, always simming? Smining?
Always minning.
Always minning.
Always minning.
Okay, +650. Whatever it was. Always
And then we're going to go...
Always mine.
We're going to go War of Will. So what I will do is I will take improbable 5-2 to win. Always minning 8-1 to show. And then War of Will to place. Any of those three horses hit, you'll win money.
There you go. I got nothing for you.
Long shot, by the way. Boat Express. They were the fill-in when dude couldn't... Omaha Beach couldn't be in the Derby. Do you know that Boat Express was like in the running at the end of that Derby there?
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, the fuck... Sorry. The entrant, right? The entrant that just... Hey, you're going to be the horse that's in there because we need to get out there. Go get him. The bastard almost placed.
Almost did it again.
It almost placed. So you know what? I'm going 20-1 odds as a long shot. My man, Bode Express.
There you go. I got nothing for you. I got nothing for you. I don't do horses.
And listen, take it for what it's worth. Just ride it. Ride it. It's like the ref angle. Do we even do the ref angle?
We Ref angle, 16-5. You're wrong. It's the ref angle, 16-5.
No, but you know what? The three games that you said not to bet, I bet them, and I lost.
I know. That's your fault. That's the ref angle, 16-5. Joe Murray, 0-3. That's not 16-8. Let's get that straight. 16-5, Joe yes. Murray, 0-3.
Yes, I'm 0-3. It's funny I throw it in the record, though, right?
Oh, I know.
Just throw it right in there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right, that's it. No horns. Who cares? Watch. Tomorrow we're going to go, who do you guys like? Who do you guys like? Listen to the podcast, damn it. I gave you four horses. How about that?
Four.
You got four.
Four.
One of them has to just win, show, or place. What that means is first, second, or third. One horse, Dan. Four. I think there's a good opportunity out of four horses that one of them at least wins, shows, or places.
Agreed.
All right. Moving on. That's it.
Moving on.
Well, we got to roll the dice coming up next.
All right.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
We're rolling the dice here on Over Under 98.5. I like to just call it roll the dice because we're just going to roll out some things out there of interest. Anything, Dan, for you?
Well, before we start rolling the dice, we're going to take it right into the window.
Here we go.
Because I got to get out of here.
All right, let's do it.
So rolling the dice. The only thing I wanted to talk about, the hedging, to me that was important.
Hey, Dan, how do you feel about books? Books giving people money back after a bad call. Let me just say this really quick. My bookie don't feel bad for me. My bookie says, Joe, the Sharks won. I'm not paying your ass back.
My bookie says, bleep you. Yeah. As he said earlier.
So you know what? I'm fine with it, Dan, because at least I know the rule. I know that when something happens, I'm either going to win or I'm going to lose.
Yep.
Why did they do this and why was it good?
Honestly, my opinion is that they did this because of the fact that they had, they're basically just the public exposure that they have, the good PR that they would have gotten is worth more to them than the amount of actual exposure they had on the Blues. So, you know, there wasn't a huge deal to give them their money back. You know, they're probably going to lose it in anyways later in the series. We're nearing the end of the NHL season, trying to keep their bettors in line, trying to keep them happy. This is a way to do it. This is a really good way to do it, Joe. And I think that, you know, just the PR is just always, it's always helpful. It's always great. So using the PR and getting that kind of PR for your book is just, it's more invaluable than the probably small exposure, because hockey outside of Boston, outside of the Northeast, whatever, just not a big sport to bet on. It's just, there are some places, you know, Vegas bets on the Knights and whatever. There are some definitely places that bet on hockey, but it's not a big exposure most places, New Jersey, whatever. I don't know, but just not there's not a lot of big exposure there. It's a niche sport, as they say. So because of that, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. They bought themselves some free press, Joe.
I agree, and I'll tell you, it's smart. There's a lot of these, I'm going to be honest with you, people who bet on those sites, What are they betting? You mentioned $100, $200, $25 a play, and here we are. We sound like high rollers, right? I just did that. I'm a douche. I'm sorry. I did that. But you know what? I think it will get more people to sign up if some more bullshit like that happens again.
Agreed.
It was a good move. So we've been swearing a lot today, and you know what? It's fine. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. I mean, Felger says vile shit on his podcast.
He actually really does.
He says vile shit.
Like stuff I can't get away with.
Stuff like that he should not be saying. So I don't feel bad at all.
What else did I want to do? I wrote something down here, but and we'll take it to the window because I'm sure there's a ton of questions this week.
Okay, I want to get into something quickly, and then we'll take it to the window afterwards. I want to talk about Bovada. Okay, so there's a guy who contacted me, he kind of made its round around the internet a couple days ago. I honestly forget his name. I'm going to try and pull it up from Twitter. Nice kid. We've been talking a little bit. Pretty much, he won a big parlay on Bovada, like 18 grand, I think he said, whatever, Joe, or he won a good amount of money on Bovada. He tried to cash out. They suspended his account. After they suspended his account, he tried to contact them on Twitter. They didn't respond to him on Twitter, so he started ripping them. Then he was ripping them, and he started getting retweeted by some big accounts. So then they chimed in like, how can we help you? He's like, give me my money. I want my money. I want my money. Give me my damn money. What do? They blocked him on Twitter, Joe. Then they got their sponsors to block him on Twitter as well. So now this kid's out like 18 grand from Bovada. It's ridiculous. Bovada sucks. I'm telling you right now, if they sponsored us, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't do the read. I'd let you do the read. I have no interest in ever doing anything nice for this company again. This company sucks. If you use Bovada, message me. I'll recommend you to another book that doesn't suck, and we'll get some free money. The referral bonuses for both sides. I'll get you another book. That site sucks. They screw people out of money. I told the story before when I was really young. I was young. I was like 21, 22. I was really just getting in like gambling full time, you know, and I was still pretty much a newbie. I hit like a 14 team parlay, Joe.
What?
I don't know. Something ridiculous. It was big ass parlay, won like 20 something grand, tie 20s, 25, whatever, something like that. I honestly don't remember the figure. It was high figures. They paid me like 8 grand and told me never to bet on their site again. I'm banned. Paid me out. And I said, what the hell? I won 20 grand. They said, that's not how it works. Here's 8 grand. Never bet on our site again. They banned me. I will never bet on Bovada. I will never give them good press. And honestly, I don't give a shit. Fuck them.
Oh no.
I don't care. Honestly, if they want to sponsor us, feel free. No, you suck.
You know what? I will say this though. Where's the guy from Bovada to come out? Where the guy from my bookie when he wanted to beef with Barstool? Like that didn't work out, did it?
They got murdered.
Yeah. And like, just Bovada needs to come out and just be present, you know? Like, that's my whole thing is that, you know, to Dan's point, I've never experienced Bovada. I have friends who love Bovada. And actually, the one thing I do like about Bovada is they have more odds than the book that I have, especially Game of Thrones odds.
So does Five Dimes. So does Bet Online.
But that's
so
the thing. All so these other sites are starting to come along now and be like, oh, well, this site's got it. Well, why can't we have it? So that's my suggestion. I will say this, though. I say this week after week, then. I don't like putting my money into something and then have to wait for it or wonder how I'm going to get it back if I win. That's why I don't like betting online. Again, if you can find a local or go to the casino, it is the best bet for you.
Don't ask me for a local. I'm not kidding.
We don't know how we're going to hook you up in a local. Come on.
So many.
Just go down to the Airy Pub in Dorchester. I'm sure you find somebody taking action.
Where is that when we write it down?
You know, go to like the L Street Pub in Southie. Or now am I calling people out now?
I'm staying off.
Saying, you can go anywhere.
Just don't ask me for a
go
local.
Hey, man. Yeah, dude, I. I'm not doing this today.
I had someone once recommend me for a local friend of mine. I made a bunch of money and it never paid me. And I was like, okay, great. Awesome. Thanks.
So Bovada's not on good terms with Dan Lifshitz.
No, Bovada.
And I did hear that story.
Joe Murray famously says, Bovada in, Dan Lifshitz out.
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 Out. All right. What do we got for questions? Oh, Game of Thrones odds. Last episode
don't
ever.
Don't spoil it.
Last episode ever.
Don't spoil it.
Wait, don't spoil what?
Don't spoil
it. I can't
the
give
odds.
The favorite?
No, don't
I
do
can't
it.
Give out who
no,
the favorite
don't
is.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you want to know why? We'll be spoilers
can
because
I,
I'll tell you
can
this.
Can I tell
right
you
now.
Something? I thought I knew the spoiler last week. It was wrong.
Okay.
Everything went right except for what happened to the. Well.
What? No, no, say
spoilers.
Say what happened last week.
Okay. The Lannister, Jamie and Cersei. See
oh,
ya.
So, nope. So all the spoilers I've read, 100% right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Mine was a little faceless man involved.
Oh, see, that's not what I had.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you read the wrong one.
Little Arya.
Let me send you the right one.
Oh, really?
Let me send you the
right one. You know, I want to make some money.
By the way, I got the now betting favorite at plus 1,200. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
We're not gonna give it
people
away.
Were pissed about when we were on Touch and Rich this week.
Yeah, we didn't say anything. It wasn't us, it was Rich. I'm not taking the L. I am not taking that. Just like
it's my fault because I said
I'm
it all.
I'm not letting
up.
You spoil it right now. Not happening.
All right. Questions.
Questions. Let's take it to the window.
Take it to the window.
All right. First question, Joe, from my buddy Soundwave. He consistently asks us questions every week, and that's awesome. Hi guys, can we talk about the Bucks Raptors line? Do you think -6.5 is off? Lopez's performance isn't sustainable for the series. Toronto had a pretty sound approach to containing Giannis and went extremely cold during the Bucks' comeback, aside from Lowry. I'm drawn to taking the Raptors outright after watching Game 1. Thoughts?
I took the Raptors Game 1. It didn't work out. But I will say this. Milwaukee's 9-1 against the spread at home. 9-1.
And the ref that they have it just loves them. Callahan loves them. And the Bucks. The Raptors suck with them.
How do you go against that, though?
Can't.
9-1?
Can't go against the Callahan trend or the hating the Raptors trend or the fact that the Raptors are now 0-2 in the playoffs with him and the Bucks are 3-0. Can't do it. You gotta bet the ref. I think the Bucks will be a close game. The Bucks will pull away at the end and they'll somehow cover.
Okay, what else we got, Dan?
All right. For my buddy Beef. Beef, that's right.
Beef. Hey, what's guys, for dinner?
I've been betting the spread in NHL playoffs with some good success. For the NHL playoffs, do you agree or disagree that it makes more sense to bet the spread if you really like a matchup? Just for a quick reference, in Boston's 12 wins, they are 10-2 against the spread, I believe. Against the spread, meaning puck line. So they win by 1.5 goals.
I don't like it, but I have. Well, they won 2-1 the other day.
Correct.
You're not going to. Put the juice up. I do it. I put the juice up every time.
I like to do it in certain situations. I believe that you usually find good game winners in closeout games. You'll usually win by more than one closeout game. So for yesterday, if you like the Bruins, -1.5.
The other thing for the Bruins is whenever they score 3 goals or more, they win.
They always win. Right. So they're now perfect. They have now had 1 win with 2 goals. First time they've done it all playoffs, so good that we can see they can win a different way. But yeah, pretty much what I would tell you about the puck lines is you got to be on the right side of it.
If I'm looking ahead a little bit, Sharks Bruins, I already think the over.
Well, we'll talk about that. Let's not jump into. I do agree, but we'll get into that. All right. Also, another question for Beef. Double Beef this week. Another question, if you don't mind. What do you guys focus on most when you bet baseball? I couldn't understand why Dan picked the Reds aside from the starter they had going, and thought the Mets -1.5 at the Marlins tonight with DeGrom starting. So first off, I think that the Mets -1.5 tonight with DeGrom is actually underpriced, which says to me that's scary. To me, I care about the pitcher. I care about the matchup. I care about the fact you need to look at multiple factors. I'm not going to give away what I do, okay? Because I don't like to give away too much, and I don't like to let people look too much under the hood in the way I bet, Joe, right? It's just the minute you start doing that, people start, you know, saying, oh, well, you said this before you say that. I like to let people under the hood a little bit. Here's what I'll say. I value the pitcher more than I value the lineup. I value where the line is, and I say, where is the value? For instance, I like the Reds yesterday. You have to back Castillo in that spot. You knew going against a good team who he has bad career numbers off. He's probably not going to get the majority of the bet, but there's good value in taking him against a team he has bad numbers against, and that, you know, is probably overvalued in the betting market right now. Good value there. I'm not going to get into any more than that, but I think that that's a good way to start. The pitcher to me is always more important than the lineup.
You know what was interesting is Rick Porcello, the pitching matchup tonight, I think favored the over. But if you look at it, Porcello has been really good lately, and I forget who was pitching for Houston tonight. But for me, in that case, I'd fade the over trend and go under just from success. And I'm trying to figure out who was the pitcher for.
We're about to get the clean lady in here, not knowing. So it's going to get loud for a second, and then they'll leave.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, good points on the baseball stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Great.
Great. Yeah. Let's move on. Our buddy Ryan asked us, "Do you two like the wrangle tonight?"
Well, I faded it yesterday, so I'm mad at myself. So I think the way to go, I'm going to go Toronto and Milwaukee winning.
What do you mean? Toronto covers, Milwaukee wins?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going Milwaukee.
Really?
But I thought the wrangle is Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 6.5.
Yes.
Well, sorry. Sorry.
The wrangle tonight is Milwaukee covers, Milwaukee wins.
And I'm not fading it.
And I'm by the way, I am on the Bucks tonight.
So Bucks.
I'm on
Let's
Bucks.
Do it.
I'm
Bucks. Okay. -6.5. We locking it in, Dan?
Are we
PPing it?
No, I'm not. I don't think it's a good enough spot to PP. You know what? You know what I said? Scare money, don't make no money earlier. You want to PP it? Let's PP it. Bucks -6.5.
All right, well, let me tell you what it is at my book, because your book's sometimes different than mine. Okay, 6.5.
There you go.
Over under 219.
I like the over. I think the over is correlated.
Bucks in the over?
Bucks in the over. Do not parlay. Parlay? I know you want parlay.
A little parlay. By the way, I hit a parlay on Monday. I hit a parlay on Monday that was Bruins +110 and the Raptors money line. And it did very well.
Oh, I told you I told you parlay the Raptors with everything you can.
It did very well.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure you're a happy guy.
Stop. I mean, I've lost a couple of bets this week. I'm still up.
Do not do the Bucks in the over tonight. I'm telling you, just take the Bucks.
Oh, God.
Take the Bucks. Why is it so hard?
It's Friday night. My wife's out of town.
Stop
I got nothing to do.
Take the Bucks. Jesus. Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on. Sean Anderson.
Jesus.
Jesus.
He's got nothing to do with this.
Yikes. Hey, guys. Love the podcast. Early on in the year, I ended up placing a small bet on the Bruins to win a +1,400. Would you recommend hedging it with either or both the Sharks or the Blues to ensure I win some money either way? If so, would you wait till the
What did we say? What did we say earlier? Would you hedge in this situation?
+1,400, I would wait to hedge with the Sharks. They're probably going to be plus money or even money. You can at least make the money you bet back and maybe a little bit more. So you bet $100 to win $1,400, Joe. I'd probably place like $200 or $300 on the Sharks. That's it. Either way, you're still coming up with $1,000 or a couple $100.
But real quick, that Bucks, would you buy the hook half a point tonight?
No.
Okay.
No, let it ride. Stop being scared. Let it ride. Okay. Don't pay the juice. Let it ride.
Okay, let's do it.
I can see Joe betting next to me. He's going to be so mad at me if they don't cover tonight. I just know it. He's going to be screaming in his living room. God damn it, Lifshatz. God damn it.
Nope.
I can see it.
We're in. We're in.
All right.
We're in. We're in.
We're in. All right. Question from Ben. What are some of the most important factors you look at when trying to find a side with the MLB? I loved your insight in college basketball and wonder what you look at for the MLB.
By the way, I'm out on like baseball stuff at the moment.
Okay, yeah, so I'll answer this one. Do you look at the public picks, the percentage money on a side? I don't look at any of that. I do know what I mean, you can tell by looking at the pitchers and the teams what team is going to have the public percentage. You don't need to look at anything, sports insights or anything. That's a helper for a lot of people, and I suggest it, but, most people, you don't need it. Again, we kind of just talked about what I look at and the most important things to me. The pitcher matters to me most, but I do think there's very good times. The other thing I will say, Joe, here's one thing that people way overvalue in baseball. Stop looking at the win-loss record. It doesn't mean jack shit. Win-losses mean nothing. I don't give a shit if your pitcher is 14-0. Don't give a shit. It means nothing to me.
We're really going to find out if people were listening this week.
Seriously. Yeah, your win-loss record in baseball means dick if you're a pitcher. Really, it means nothing. All right, let's move on.
What other swears can we mix in today?
No, that's
Dan?
Not a swear. We say that on air. Who cares? That's fine. All right. Question from Mark. When is the right time? This is for you, by the way. I'm letting you answer this one. When is the right time to stop riding trends? For instance, I've been riding a home team to win the first half money line trend in NBA playoffs since game three of the Celtics Bucks. It's something like 15-2-1 in that span. However, it's 3-2-1 in the last six and two straight L's. Is it time to stop riding this trend? Fan of the podcast. Love the work you guys do.
The right answer is to continue to do what you're doing on a daily basis, and you'll be profitable.
My answer is that it depends on the round. So I think for the NBA playoffs, like, yeah, we found that second round money lines, home teams, very, very favorable. Maybe the finals, maybe not. So I'd be careful. Like, maybe.
But again, a wrangle that I've been pumping up for weeks, I faded. And tonight, I'm going back into the well.
No, you faded and you lost.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But do you see what happened? The guy's asking, hey, well, if you do it, you're going to be pissed at yourself.
I
stick with it.
But I do think there's a difference between round two and round three. That's all.
I mean, I faded the Rockets, and I look like an asshole.
No, you don't. No, you were smart.
Thought the Durant thing was going
to
help.
You came over to the dark side. All right. Final question. We're going to wrap this up from JC. Hi. How do I effectively use Bitcoin to gamble, since it's always one of the easiest ways to withdraw your balance?
Oh, God. Please tell me, Dan. Tell me.
Okay. So first off, if you want to actually bet Bitcoin, you can. CloudBet and Nitrogen, both are books that literally you bet Bitcoin. So you bet the value of Bitcoin. So that means the money in your book can either go up or down depending on how much Bitcoin you have. The most effective way to deposit or withdraw money from an online book is Bitcoin. So you go, you have to have a Bitcoin provider. You buy your Bitcoin. You have a little wallet. You get their address, you send it to their address, and they tell you, and they put the money in your account for you. Then when you want to deposit, you give them your address, and they deposit the money back for you. Really simple. If you have questions, feel free to DM me, I guess, in more detail, but pretty simple. As long as you understand the understanding of how to use Bitcoin, you should be able to pretty much figure it out. It's not difficult. Joe, any final thoughts? That's the question. That's all the questions I'm going to take today.
We were really ourselves today, Dan.
I agree. Swear.
I think we did this shit. This is going to be a good podcast this week. That's all. And you know what? I'm ready for next week. And there may be a special little prop that might be introduced over the weekend that you might want to stick around to the Over Under 985. Website, Twitter handle. So you might want to just keep an eye on that.
Interesting. I like that tease. I do. Joe, 1 hour and 5 minutes this week.
Oh, beautiful.
1 hour and 5 minutes. And that's
your fiance is going to be so happy.
Yeah, she's going to be pissed that I'm not going to be able to make it to my mom's until like 8:30 to do wedding invitations, though.
Ooh.
Yeah.
In or out on being there to do wedding invitations?
I'm out on it, but like I don't really have a damn choice.
We haven't done an in or out over under 95.
Yo, we should. You know what?
Well, it's gonna get slow soon.
We're gonna get slow. By the way,
we gotta get guests on too.
We're gonna start having guests. Here's the problem with guests: we have to get them approved. So the thing about having guests, I know, like it's just, let's have this guest on. We have to get them approved. So that is the only one. That's
great if we can just do it on the air.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? Maybe we go Mr. Thomas with a list of guests in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm down.
He's a smart guy. He knows what to look for.
He knows what's up.
Yep.
All right, Dan. That's it. He's Dan Lifshutz at Dan Lifshutz. Follow him because when he makes his picks, he's right.
Oh,
and I'm always doing something crazy.
One more thing. If you guys have listened to the podcast, you guys have made money, you lost money, whatever. Please to God, there's only one thing we ask listens. Please go rate our podcast. Rate, review, subscribe.
Ooh, reviews. Hey, whether they suck or not, we need reviews.
If you guys think we suck, I don't care. That's fine. Go review us.
And
whatever.
If you tweet us and you win, post it. We'll retweet it.
Please review it. iTunes, Google Play, whatever, Spotify. I don't know what you guys do with reviews, but if you could please take the time out of your day. I know everyone's busy. I know it's a really shitty thing, but it would mean the world to us if you could just please review and rate the podcast. Even if you hate it, if you think we suck and you just listen to fade us, that's perfectly fine. You could say they suck and I listen to fade. If you think we're awesome, say we're awesome, they made me money, whatever. You don't have to give a ton, just please rate, review, subscribe. I would very much
appreciate. I had some guy tell me he's faded 3 of my picks this week and he's 2-3. Oh, 2-1, sorry,
2-1.
So
I had someone tell me he faded all my picks this week, and he told me now his bookie's calling him asking for money. Not kidding, that's a true story. He said, how can you help me make money again? There was another question this week, by the way, asking if you're in a gym and you're getting killed by your book, what do you do to get back up? And my answer was, buddy, follow Joe Murray. Follow Joe Murray.
To be completely honest with that, pay off your debt and then start over.
Yeah,
I agree. Alice in Chains is my favorite band. We pay our debt sometimes.
Okay. All right. There we go. That's it. I'm done now. Do,
do, do. All right. We're out of here. He's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.